All right, according to the latest issue of Economist magazine, November 5th until 11th, 2022, the Fed delivers another jumbo rate rise, and it far from done. As recently as the start of June, investors and analysts believe that a jumbo interest rate rise for the Federal Reserve meant half a percentage point. After four straight increases of 0.75 percentage point, the latest on November 2nd perceptions have changed. Indeed, a stock market rally in the 2 weeks before the announcement was rooted in the belief that, you know, the Fed may scale down to a half point rate increase at its next meeting in December. At a news conference following the Fed's latest move, Jerome Powell, the chair of the Federal Reserve, said and resisted tipping his hand in either direction. Joining us this morning to comment further on this is Sean Said, Joy AQI Chief Economist. Sean, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Sean. First of all, Sean, last Saturday's Financial Times, there is a huge warning from the Fed. It says Fed warns of sharply higher interest rates could spark financial distress. S&P 500 lost 3.4%, and we look at Nasdaq lost 5.65% last week, as post-FOMC from Powell was a grim focus on inflation, but it meant higher interest rates were on the cards. How do you, you know, view this news as a global player, since you have been sharing with us for the past 7 to 8, you know, before the Fed did?
Yes, Najib, the way things are shaping up, it looks 2023 will be much tougher than 2022. And as you rightly pointed out, Fed coming out with the statement, and we have been sharing this for the last 7 to 8 months, that the economy, global economy, will have severe headwinds coming in the way, and it's very difficult to face these headwinds. It's just like a train coming at you, and you're not going to stop it by standing in its way. What Powell said, if you recall, on 26 August in a Jackson Hole speech, I have never seen the chairman of Federal Reserve using the word pain thrice in one paragraph. And he repeated on 21st September during his press conference when he hiked the interest rate by 75 basis points. So I think this is coming out of Fed. Fed knows that they have lost the game. Inflation will remain higher for the next 12 to 15 months. And Fed knows that they have been behind the curve and they have not been able to follow or meet this mandate. So things will be very, very tough for next year.
All right, Sean, the latest report from Blackstone, which managed $1 trillion AUM, there are three risks to the global economy, as in inflation, recession and interest rate risk. Do we have any further risk in 2023?
Yeah. Yes, 2 months ago, I participated in the survey conducted by McKinsey, and they mentioned about all these three factors that you have mentioned. But apart from these risks to the global economy next year, there are three more risks. One is the geopolitical risk, the other is the growth risk, and then lastly, you have counterparty risk. I mean, a lot of banks will not be lending to each other, and we have witnessed that in 2019 and 2021. So I think global economy will face these 5 to 6 challenges, which will be quite deep for the market, and market will not be able to handle these challenges.
Sean, with the Fed tightening the rates, do you think there will be another liquidity crisis risk in the you know, repo and reverse repo market, like it happened in 2019, 2020 and also 2021? Do we foresee another financial shock? Who will bail out, you know, repo and reverse repo market?
Najib, that's a billion-dollar question, because the liquidity risk looks inevitable. The way Fed is tightening the rates, as you mentioned, and squeezing the liquidity out of the market, the central banks have already reduced their balance sheet by almost $3.5 trillion. So there will be a liquidity risk. And banks nowadays, especially in the advanced economies, they are not lending to each other against 2-year note or 10-year note. They are lending against, you know, 7-day call notes. So this clearly illustrates that banks are not very confident against lending, especially in the repo and reverse repo market. And we have seen this crisis in 2019 and 2021, and it will get more severe as we approach 2023.
All right, Shan, lastly, in today's Star newspaper, you have talked about a stronger dollar will stay in the short run. But do you think emerging markets can take a pressure of appreciating dollar, which is up to 60%? And
year to date,
do central banks have the policy to lever the face the pressure?
If you see in the last 7 to 8 months, central banks have been raising rates globally. But there is a clear schism between advanced economy central banks and emerging economy central banks. Advanced economy central banks are raising 75-100 basis points. On the other hand, if you look at emerging market central banks, they are raising rates by 25 or 50 basis points. So it clearly shows that advanced economy central banks are panicking. On the other hand, you have emerging market banks where you have strong reserves. The governor of central banks are not panicking. They're moving in a very structured manner in raising rates because we have to support the economy. On the other hand, in advanced economy, the growth rate is low, the inflation is high, stagflation is into the economic equation. They don't know how to spur growth. On the other hand, you have Asian economies or emerging economies where growth is still very strong because of consumption, FDI, and overall trade and commerce numbers. So I think emerging market central banks have the capability of handling a stronger US dollar, which is bad for the global economy.
Shan, you know that Malaysia is facing and going through the election right now. But how do you foresee all these challenges, the global challenges? How should Malaysian brace for impact? And how should all these politicians who will become, you know, the policymaker later on brace for impact or planning, strategize in that sense, you know, to help to at least brace Malaysia and to help Malaysia, you know, have some sort of resilience to in facing all these challenges globally?
Outside world is very challenging. So what we have seen on 7th October, the budget was presented. It clearly illustrates that the government wants to focus on the domestic economy. This is the same strategy what China adopted in 2020 during COVID. And we saw that, you know, it was a very successful strategy. What is this strategy? It's called dual circulation strategy. You have to support the local businesses and you have to encourage consumption. That's the only way forward that you will be able to grow, because we have seen that advanced economies are going down. The rise of East is inevitable. The growth will be happening in ASEAN, GCC, and Africa. And many economies will be under severe recession or deep recession in advanced economies, especially USA, UK, and Europe. And it will require 2 to 3 years for these economies to recover. On the other hand, you have ASEAN, where consumption patterns are pretty strong, where you have macroeconomic stability, where trade numbers are strong, and overall, the FDI is coming into the country.
All right, Shan, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That is Shan Syed, the Chief Economist of GYIQI, commenting on the Fed and also the performance of the market, especially for the Wall Street, and also how will it impact the Asian as a whole and also Malaysia, particularly, especially as we're heading towards the election on the November 19th. Thank you so much, Shan. All right, kita akan berhenti seketika. Kita akan kembali selepas ini.